2015.
All right, yeah.
Vision Destiny or something. I must say that that was very, very, very specific. That was no generalizations there, Mike.
Well, it was part two. Part
I
one, I did part one the week before. I didn't, it wasn't on YouTube, but it was recorded for the audio, which set the scene for it. So I did go into sort of like some caveats of to make sure people didn't misunderstand some of the words I was using. But
Gotcha.
I'm gonna release both of those for people to get, because you need to get both really to get the picture of, you know, what God is saying and how he was saying it. But yeah, I just basically shared what he said. That was, you know, it was okay, God said this, he showed me this, so I'm gonna say it as it is. So yeah.
I have to tell you though, the timing, and you know, and God is very mathematical. He's very time oriented, you know, very, very cyclical. And the fact of that, this is all kind of at the culmination of the, you know, the four blood moons, just before the new Rosh Hashanah starts. I mean, it's all pretty interesting to me.
Yeah, I sort of, I'm, yeah, I don't know. I just none of that stuff that I'm sort of particularly bothered about. I just share what God says. I'm sure the timings from God's perspective are in alignment with where people's hearts are. And I think God will speak through any of those type of things if people will pick something up through it. For me, it's like, well, he just talks to me, so but I know for other people, some of the signs and different things people pick up on, and if God uses that, that's great. I no issue with whatever, but for me, it's like because I've sort of can talk to him, then I don't really need the signs because in a sense I'm talking to him, so
Exactly.
it's that, it's into a relational aspect of it. But I'm sure I know that there's a significance with this year, so I know for that some people they may not even notice anything, but some people will, and there's a whole, if you think of the Christian community at large, there's probably millions upon millions and millions who've never heard or never been drawn into any level of intimacy. So, they've got nothing to base anything on. But I believe what will happen as God does move from those that have heard and that those who have not responded, that's going to open the door for him to release the sound and the call to many people who would not even imagine or think what it is. And so I think many people in traditional settings are going to start to get angelic visitations. They're going to start to get the sound of heaven drawing them to, again, have some choices to make. But, the main thing is if we've heard, let's respond. Let's respond. Let's just do what he's calling us to do, and let's embrace what he's calling us to step over into. And then, we got no problems with, we can just start to engage it and move forward in it. But, I think it is a significant time. And I did feel the weight of that. I mean, some of these words, they came over sort of a couple of months, and the weight of it was sort of building, and I think, do I really want to release this? Do I really want to say this stuff? And I was sort of like wavering of whether I was going to release it or not, to be honest. And I thought, okay, well, God's spoken it. I can release it to the church here, and okay, then I've at least released it there. But God sort of got hold of me, and it was really interesting. I was in a hangout a couple of weeks ago with a lady or a couple of ladies, and she said, I just see God, and he's just given you this weapon to put in your hands, and he's basically telling you need to use it. and you don't need to fear or be concerned. Just use what he's put into your hands and release it. So I thought, okay, all right. I get the point, God. Because yeah. Sometimes I don't want to ask him the question because I don't want to hear what he's going to say. You know, this is like, I'll be honest, you know, particularly if I know it's potentially going to cause hassle. So I was like, do I really want to ask him specifically whether he wants me to do this or this or this? So I was avoiding asking him the question, and then he proactively challenged me anyway. So I was like, okay, well, I need to be prepared to do what he says and be part of the instrument that he's going to use. And I think there are many people who are releasing things which God is going to use to encourage people to choose, you know, to choose to follow him. You know. Wow, is it St. Patrick's Day?
No.
That was green. No wonder he's put his picture up there.
Yeah.
Morning it is.
Ah, there he is. It's green. Wow. Awesome.
Good morning. Good day.
Okay. So, where do you want to go today? I mean, have you got anything you want to share? I know we talked about maybe doing some court case type stuff. I'm sort of up for that later if you want to do that.
Yeah, actually, this Saturday night, there's a group of us that are getting together. It's 10 of us. It's not 12.
Yep.
I was actually going to ask you if that is even going to make a difference. I don't think it will, but yeah. You know, I the more that you understand about protocol and stuff, you're going like, you know, I think you know, two or more gathered together is probably a consensus. Is that not correct? If going with what you know Jesus has said,
yeah.
But as far as the, I guess you could say the format, we're just going to be, you know, going with the information that we've gotten, some from Robert Henderson, some from you, and just go in by faith. None of us have ever done this before, but again, this family is, I mean, it's weekly, a significant crisis, car accidents, you know. One boy was almost ran over by a car on his bike. I mean, it just, you know, it's just going boom, 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 and so it's not relenting at all, and so we were trying to do it at Christmas time. We couldn't work it out. Yeah. But again, the timing is, you know, today meeting with you, so maybe you can also give us kind of maybe some guidelines to go with. Because frankly, Mike, I'm still doing everything by faith. You know, I was talking to the Lord last night. I said, this is so frustrating. I know beyond I know. But I don't show it yet. You know, I heard Jason Westerfield said, you really don't know something till you can show it. And so, you know, there's a level of frustration there that you see it all through the Word. You know, you see it in other people's lives operating and the fruit of it, and you're fully ready to embrace it, but not there yet. But you can't also get out of a place of peace either, and a place of contentment, because then you're striving, and then it's not going to happen anyway. So,
sure, yeah.
But again, I'm continuing to just pursue the Lord through, as I told you before, communion, and that continues to become more and more intimate. Revelation comes, so that is my garden place now, is my communion time with the Lord. And but not that I don't, you know, by faith engage in other areas. It's just that it's all, you know, see through a glass dimly still. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. So. I mean, some of that is, it's, I think you're engaging more than you actually are giving yourself credit for, because God always responds to faith. And, you know, in what we're looking to do, in learning to receive revelation from God, and engage with him and engage in these things, when you engage by faith, you are receiving. You may not be activating your imagination or seeing it in a pictorial form, but revelation is flowing. And, you know, you will be receiving that revelation. So when it comes to, you know, engaging a court case or anything like that, some people may be like, oh, wow, yeah, I feel like I can, I get this impression of what this looks like or where I am. That's great. But the key is to get the revelation. So by following the protocol by faith, you will get the revelation. You know, that it will come. It may come in a picture, it may come in an impression, it may come in, actually, I feel this. Or when you're like, okay, what is the accusation against this person? And you wait and listen, then some thoughts will come into your mind, which will be what the accusations for that person against that person are. That's how it will work. You know, you may not be, okay, I'm standing in this courtroom and I see everything that's going on, but you know, when you convene a court, that the mobile court, as in Ezekiel 1, it will show up. And God will show up, and then you can begin to operate the court system. And you will get the revelation. It will come. And people, if there's 10 of you there, you will all get different aspects of that revelation. And some of it will come in, okay, this people, what gives the enemy access into this family to bring devastation? And some of that may come in, well, this is a curse. This people have spoken this. Or it could come as in, well, there is a generational thing on this family that has opened them up for this judgment to come upon them. And it came through this. And some that it'll just happen like that. You know, and people will get it as in, well, I saw this picture of this. Does this mean anything? So when you go and you step in and you, okay, we're convening this court and the process of it, you know, we can run through the process of it, then you just, okay, I demand to hear the accusations against this family, which gives the enemy legal right to bring and list whatever it is, you know, accidents, sickness, disease, you know, finance, whatever the issues are, okay, we're going to hear the accusations. And then once you've heard, you step back out, and then you share what you heard. So whatever that might be, you know, whether it's a picture or an impression, you just shared, and encourage people just to go for it, not to be hesitant or, well, I don't think I'm not really sure. Just share what they feel has come. If it's a spontaneous thought in their mind, then share the thought. Then those that are involved, then you begin to say, oh, okay, do you resonate or can you see anything of what's being shared here? Does anything here ring a bell? Does it sort of connect with you in any way? Now, it's obviously different doing a court case with if the people are there than if you're doing it on their behalf differently. I mean, for me, it's like I can equate it to when I go on into court on behalf of myself. You know, I go into the courtroom on behalf of myself and I take a specific issue that I want to deal with in my life, say an area that I'm struggling with or an area where the enemy seems to have some access. When I do that, then when I hear the accusations, then I have to own them. And that's the key. You know, if there's sort of a whole lot of arguments, well, no, I'm not really sure, no, we don't want to, then, you know, you're not going to get too far. So you really want to encourage people, look, even if there's a grain of truth in this, or 1%, or even if it's something that maybe you don't even know about, but could be in your family line, and this has come by revelation, encourage them to accept the accusation, because that is the key. You have to stand under the judgment of God. Because it's God who brings not guilty, not us, arguing the case. So that there's ways in which you can help facilitate it. I mean, I had to go through this in that when I first started to do this, you know, I wanted to argue. It was like I wanted my flesh rose up, and it's like, well, no, I didn't do that. That's not fair. Why does that give any access? You know, and I went through this sort of thinking these things and responding in that way, you know, and then, you know, this sort of scriptures about agreeing with your adversary quickly, and that came, and God challenged me. So only your pride that stops you agreeing. And as soon as I really started to get hold of it, and it was like, yeah, you're right, you know, I don't need to justify myself. if the enemy is saying he's got illegal access, why do I need to try and argue? I just need to submit it to the judge. Because I actually know what the verdict's going to be, because he's already clothed me in robes of righteousness, and he sees me through the victory of the cross. So no matter my involvement, whether it was 100%, yes, I did this, I said that, I did that, or, well, I didn't do any of that, but actually my family line may have done this, this, and this, I can stand in identification for them, I can stand there, and I can come and agree. And in that agreement, then that releases the judge to pass sentence or the verdict, and the sort of verdict, the judgment is not guilty. Then I can receive the authorization to be free from that, which gives me the power to enforce the judgment and the ruling as we go forward. And, you know, then when you come back and you step back into this realm, and I found this ties in with lie busting quite a lot, because lie busting, people get revelation, but often they don't know what to do afterwards if that revelation comes under attack. And so when you get a court order or a separation from it, or, you know, a legal thing to say, no, I have this verdict on my behalf, you no longer have a right to oppress me or affect me or bring that thinking pattern into my mind or do whatever it is, then you can then use that, but you have to exercise it. And this is the key. Because just because you have a verdict and you have a court order doesn't mean that the enemy will immediately accept it or agree to it. So, you know, let's say I was dealing with an issue in my own mind, a mindset or a behavior pattern, and it's like, okay, I deal with this, I'm now free from it, I now have to enforce that freedom. What happens the first time that the thought pattern kicks into operation? Am I going to say, oh, it didn't work? Oh, no, it didn't work. Oh, no, I said no good. Or am I going to say, okay, I have an injunction against the enemy, this familiar spirit that's operating in this pattern of behavior and this mindset. That familiar spirit has broken that injunction and has tried to attack me again. I'm going to take it right back to court, because now the judge is going to be really, really unhappy that his order has been ignored, and actually now they're in contempt of court. And so there's greater degrees of the judgment of God and what that judgment releases against the enemy according to their actions. And, you know, you see that in Jesus casting out demons from Legion. They were like, well, don't send us there. You know, they don't want to be incarcerated and sent to the place where they can't operate, and that is a destination that they can be sent to. And if they don't comply with the court order, then they can be sent there, and they usually do comply, because once they know that they're not going to fool you and deceive you into thinking this didn't work and you have no authority, and you start to exercise your authority, it's like when someone breaks a court order, you just call the police. And they then exercise the judicial process of the court, and they take them back to court, and they have to face the judge. So I've done this a number of times in my own life, in which there wasn't like an immediate change in that, well, the thought came again, and I'm like, okay. So I quickly learned just to step back into the court by faith, engage the process, and release God's judgment. A few times of that, and never happened again. You know, I didn't, you know, whatever God did, it was effective. But what he was looking for, and what they look for, is, do you know your authority to exercise this verdict and use this verdict in administering the kingdom and the government of God around your life and in your life? And if you don't know your authority, then you haven't got it. So, and the enemy will test whether you know the authority or not. And that's why sometimes it's not an immediate, oh, everything was sorted the next instant, because there is a test, you know, and the enemy tests us to see. And the more we know our authority and then we exercise it, then the enemy realizes we're not going to be deceived He's not going to trick us into giving him some authority by coming into agreement with him that this didn't work and you don't have the authority, therefore I have greater authority than you. And that's what he will try and convince us that he has. But as soon as we have the verdict and we have the paper, if you like, that says this was dealt with on this date and this is the judgment in my favor, then we need to make sure we continue to use that in releasing God's judgment. So, you know, it's ensuring that when you go into these sorts of cases that you don't give people the expectation that there is no battle or you don't have to use the authority that you've been given. You do. You have to exercise the authority. You just have a piece of paper that says you can do this. It's like a badge that you can say, hey, I have authority over you in this area. You must submit to that authority. And if you do not, then the judge will have severe, there'll be severe consequences from the judge. So, and I use that now. Now, I didn't know that to start with. I'd sort of, you know, first few times I went through this stuff, I was finding my way and working it out. So I was asking God, well, what happened? You know, and he said, well, you're being tested. You know, do you know the authority in the verdict or don't you? And are you going to use that authority to administer it or aren't you? And so I certainly learned quickly how to do that. But it is, you know, you will get the revelation because it will be released, you know.
So question, do the individuals, because I think I've asked you this before, but you make it sound like they need to be there. Do they need to be there?
No. You know, they're within your spiritual realm of authority, so they're members of your church or, you know, that, then you have authority because they have given you that authority to act on their behalf. If they are there, then they would have to come into agreement with the proceedings, but you can stand there on the behalf. I mean, you know, I've done this for myself, so I've been there. I've done this with a group of people who are all responsible, and we've all had to own and accept. Because, you know, I mean, I've done this with our project. We've done this with our projects, and we did it several times with different church things. And when all the things came, we had to, then we sort of said, okay, I had four or five pages, A4 pages, of accusations. So once we'd listed the accusations, we then had to say, are we willing to accept these accusations? Are we willing to own them? And for each of us who's had a part in that, and we could say, well, actually, yeah, that's talking about me, then we, yeah, accepted it. And then we went and stood under the judgment of God and then repented and dealt with the accusations and then got our verdict and then began to outwork it. So, you know, I've done that personally, I've done that with groups, I've done that with groups who are involved, we've also done that on behalf of people who aren't involved. So when someone was in hospital, you know, we did a specific court case, they were actually dying, and, you know, the week after Christmas, they came back to meet with us on a Sunday, having been effectively almost pronounced dead. But we, as a group, we exercised that authority. Then we sent our healing mountain to go and visit them, carrying the authorization to bring healing into the situation. They did, and now they are completely out of that whole situation. It doesn't have to. The person doesn't have to be there, so long as you have the authority to stand on their behalf. That's the key. Which you do if they're part of your church.
Okay, thank you.
So
they won't be there with us. So then what we're doing afterwards is we're going to share the revelation with them and then basically push them to acknowledge, like you said, and take, you know, responsibility, ownership of whatever it is, and then, repent,
and that'll be their role, because they won't even know what we're doing until we approach them afterwards.
Okay. Well, I mean, are they aware that you're going to do this on their behalf before you're doing it? No?
No.
Would they have a problem with you doing it? Like getting together to seek God? Because that's what you're doing. You're getting together to seek God and to seek for a kingdom solution to their situation.
I would say no, but I can talk to the individual just to verify it. But I would say... I
mean, it would be good. It would be a good thing just to actually say, look, we are really concerned about the situation. We want to stand for you in this, and we're going to seek God, and we're going to engage to help. Is that okay? You know, are you okay with that? Because if you do get there okay, then you have, you know, you have something concrete.
Another level of agreement.
Yeah, and because they're agreeing with it. And then, you know, it's up to you what you feel God is calling you to do. I mean, it's like you can do something which may be dealing with some things which you deal with them. Then you, in a sense, they then have to come into agreement with that, which would be helpful if they were in some sort of understanding of it, obviously. Because particularly if there's, okay, the accusation is this, and it's something that they need to change, you know, it's an attitude or a mindset or a belief system, or maybe it's things they've said, you know, where they've said specific things which has given the enemy some legal rights. You know, therefore, yes, it would be then helpful for them to own that and then to accept that they need to change. And if you help them to administrate that in terms of, look, you know, helping them to repent and renounce things that has given access, it depends really on what their level of understanding is and whether they're going to be defensive over whatever revelation you've got. And that might be a bit tricky, you know. I mean, I've been defensive myself, so I know that sometimes it's like God shows some things that we don't like, you know. And you know, but if they have the heart that actually, look, you're doing this because you're concerned, you want to help them, you want to see them break through, you want to see them come out of these situations that they're in, then, you know, just try to explain in the best way you can, in a way that they can understand and participate in. You know, and in a sense, at the end of the day, what you want them to feel is empowered, that they have God on their side, and that they can take a stand against everything that's been happening to them. I mean, that's ultimately what you would want them to come into, you know, so that then you empower them to have the authority in their life to say no more. Yeah, we're not allowing this to happen anymore, because now we have an authorization from God that says, you know, we have the verdict on our behalf, in whichever way you want to try and explain it to them. But yeah.
No. Now, can I ask you a question again? Is the authorization, is it going to be like something that's tangible, or is it based on the fact that we know that we're acquitted in Christ, that there is no accusation that can stand under the blood of Jesus? I mean, those are all accepted, you know, truths by faith that basically give you a concrete document in your heart. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, that's the basis of it, because you have that truth as the basis of these things. But what you're wanting to do is to actually get it specifically attached to this situation, so that it becomes a specific, you know, for us, it's like, okay, we are going to receive a scroll, if you like, a verdict, which says on this date that this situation was dealt with, and that we have a not guilty verdict, and that authorizes us to be free from whatever legal access that the enemy was trying to exert over our lives. And along with that, sometimes comes some things that you do. You know, sometimes it's like you have this verdict, then it's like, well, God, is there anything we need to do? Yeah, are you asking us to do something physically that represents what we've received in the spiritual realm? And, you know, for us, when we did this with the lady in hospital, we received this mandate that was a being free from why the enemy was able to bring the sickness on her, and some of that was because of the stuff she said and done and her attitudes, and we stood in behalf of her for that. And then it was like, now what do we do? How do we actually take what we've done and begin to legislate it? Well, we felt that our Healing Mountain team were to go and visit her in hospital, having been authorized by us, because we now have this authority, that they would go and pray. I also went in the spirit to her hospital bed there and then and enforced that. So I rebuked the spirit of death, and in the spirit, I mean, I just went into her hospital room. She was in ICU. I went in there and just started to decree what we had a judgment for. But then we sent, a couple of people went the next day, and they went and visited her, and they actually physically spoke out the authorization for healing and health. You know, so you may get something to do, you may not. I mean, that's really, again, just, okay, God, ask the question, is there anything we need to do? You know, and see what he says. You know, and again, I mean, I think it sounds, you know, it sounds a little bit complicated, but in reality, you do this all the time. You go and you ask God, and you seek him, and you seek for his wisdom, and you receive wisdom. And you may, if you do that with a few of you, you'll receive it in different ways, and you'll share it, and it'll be like, okay, yeah, we're going to come to a consensus of what God said. You know, this is just taking that into, we're going into this setting to deal with this, you know. And, you know, I know that you will get revelation, because you're all open, and you're engaging this by faith, and God will respond. You know, it will work that way. So for me, it's like, I mean, you know, we could do something for our own lives here and now. I mean, if you want to, you know, just look to sort of the words of the protocol or whatever. I mean, I haven't got anything written down, but I mean, I just, you know, I have stuff within my own heart that I just speak out. But if you want to do that, you know, we could step in by faith right now. If you want to take something that you want to deal with in your own life, perhaps something you want to be free from, or something you're struggling with, or something you just want a breakthrough in, let's go and step in and see what you see what you hear. I mean, if you want to do that, we can do it. You know, if you want to just, you know, do something else or carry on with some question, I'm happy, whatever you want to do.
Well, as for me, I would love to find out if there's actually some kind of thing that's come against my ability to dream and vision and see. Because as a kid, I mean, they literally couldn't keep me even focused in school because I was looking out and I went places, I did things. I mean, it was so vivid and real. And now it seems to have been just like,
sure,
stolen from me in a way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so to me, that tells me there's something, you know, and I keep asking the Lord, what's going on? And so I would be happy to find out if there's something that's going on with that.
Okay. Well, let's do it. I mean, in a sense, it's like, you know, it's again, it is just engaging. And then opening your spirit to begin to receive in the process. And, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, I think that the key is just try, you know, in a day. It's practice. I mean, I've practiced this a lot, so it's familiar. I mean, we're going to do a big court case on Monday evening to deal with a major spirit which is in operation over our area and engaged in against us. So, you know, we're knowing that legislation is something that we're really going to engage in. And so, you know, this is how these things work. So let's do it. I'd encourage you to just close your eyes and just to begin to focus and think of Jesus to start with, let's just engage our spirits. Father, we thank you for the open heaven that's over us right now. We thank you as your sons that we have the power and the authority to come up here and to step in. So by faith, we choose to access that ladder, those steps that go up into the heavenly realm. We thank you that the door is open, and we thank you, Jesus, you are our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And we thank you that you meet us here, and we ask you to take us through this judicial protocol where the foundation of your kingdom is righteousness and justice. So, by faith, we convene the heavenly court, the mobile court of accusation. We call the court to order. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our advocate in this court. We thank you, Father, that you come on your throne as the judge. And so we stand before you and recognize your authority as the judge. We stand under that authority. We thank you that you clothe us with robes of righteousness, and we stand before you clothed in white linen, in robes of righteousness. And we bring this situation before you, whatever that might be for each of us. Just bring this situation just in your own mind before the judge. I stand under the covering of your love. I stand under the covering of your word. I stand in this place before you. And I demand that the accuser reveals whatever legal rights of accusation that he has to rob, to destroy, to kill, to negatively influence, to bring whatever each situation is that we bring before him now. I demand to hear the accusations. I demand to hear accusations against my family line. Any words that I may have spoken, any mindsets I may have had, any actions I may have taken that has given legal right. having heard the accusation, having an impression or a picture of what that accusation is, I agree and own those accusations. I stand on my own behalf under the covering of the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the love of God, and I accept those accusations. I stand on behalf of my family line and my generational line in identification for any sin and any accusation resents to a family situation in the past. I identify with that and agree with the accuser. I repent and renounce any words that I've spoken, any behaviors that I've exhibited, any attitudes that I've had, any actions that have given this legal right. I repent and renounce of those things. I repent and renounce any activity in my family line, any iniquity which has been visited on me to the third, fourth generation, any agreements I've made, any vows I've taken, any negative words that I've spoken, which my family line has spoken, I repent and renounce those words. I stand here under the covering of the blood of Jesus, and I receive your verdict, Father. And I receive that verdict of not guilty. I stand clothed in righteousness. I receive this verdict. I receive this court order that gives me freedom from all accusations of the enemy, that sets me free from all mindsets and patterns of behavior and thinking patterns. I receive this authorization and the authority that it carries to separate myself from this behavior, from what each situation is that we've brought before the court today. And I take that judgment, that authorization, and I place it in my heart. And I come into agreement with it that I now have authority to destroy the works of the enemy in my life. I release the judgment of God against my accuser. As I have stood under the judgment of God, I release that judgment to all my accusers who stand, any familiar spirit that's been in operation. And I decree the power to break each mindset, each behavior in the name of Jesus as I stand here as a son of God. And Father, I ask for any directions that you would give. Anything you need me to do, any prophetic act you want me to take, any declarations that you call me to make, that outworks the authority that I have in this situation. And now I choose to step back into this realm, carrying with me the authorization to be free, to outwork the authority that I've been given in this realm, on earth as it is in heaven. So, you know, in that process, basically, you know, I would wait, you know, in turns until I got the revelation I needed, whatever. And sometimes it comes quickly, sometimes it takes a bit longer. Sometimes you've got to sift through some of the things that come. But generally, that's the process I make. If they're also, one of the things I do in that situation also is release forgiveness if there are specific people who may have contributed to the situation. If God has shown me, okay, this is something the enemy has access because this was done to you and you made a judgment against them, then I repent of that judgment, but I also release forgiveness to people as a result of what they've done and release them and bless them. And if I can't bless them, then I haven't forgiven them, basically.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, did you receive anything in that process? And did anything come to your mind?
Yeah, I did, and I'm gonna revisit it again with the Lord because of, you know, just the generalization that we went through. I'll interact with him and speak it out, and but yeah, some things did come.
Okay, good.
But it did, you know, again, it's really simple.
Yep.
What you do. It's not
not complicated.
Now, can I ask you, did you see anything, or was this all by faith, just a communication that you made, or were you also engaged?
Oh no, I was engaged. I took a specific situation that is to do with a court case that we're going to do on Monday, because each of us who were involved in that court case needed to look at anything in our own lives that the enemy would use in the accusations to make sure we deal with everything personally first. So I took a situation there, I had some revelation got released there, which, you know, again, I can follow that through, you know, if I need to in more specifics. But it's just obviously giving an opportunity to see this is the process. It's not that difficult. We just need to ensure that we are operating in that, and it will come. Those things will come, you know. And the more you get used to doing these things, I mean, you know, a few years ago I was clueless. I didn't know how to really do it, and you know, I just sort of started to practice, follow a few things through, share this with a few others. Some people I shared it with were better at it than I was. They had some pretty instant results. I was thinking, hey, I only told you how to do this, and you're getting better results than I am, you know. But over the period of time, then we've learned to do it together, and you know, and then pool our revelation, and then begin to come into agreement. And you know, each of us gets a different aspect, you know, and that's why it's useful, you know, when you do it together, because you get a broader understanding, you know, and you know, which has worked. I mean, you know, we have the results, you know, that have seen these things that worked without a doubt. So yeah.
Amen.
Okay. And you know, we will begin to legislate this stuff at a higher level, you know, over our town, over our, you know, we've begun to do some of those things. That's where some of the, you know, setting up government and having benches of three working together is a really judicial process that we then operate that out of. And you know, I'm going to do this with a local bench in a couple of weeks' time as well, where we're going to come together to deal with an issue, which is a blockage in getting churches in the area engaging in intimacy with God. So we're going to take that before him and look to see, okay, what are the accusations? You know, what are the problems here? What's happened that has stopped the process and blocked it? And you know, because we're exercising the authority that we've got to do that. So, yeah. Awesome. Okay. So did anyone else engage in that, or anyone's got anything else they want to share or talk about? Got a few minutes left.
Different things I've heard you mention, as well as others, tongues in English, and my brain just seems to misfire when I hear that for some reason. So, excuse me. So I was just hoping maybe you could just take a couple moments and, I don't know, just share what, you know, is there scripture reference, you know, your own experience and understanding, whatever, anything. I'm just trying to hear some more. I've been asking the Lord, and I'm just looking for a little direction, understanding.
Okay. Well, in the whole issue with tongues, it talks about the tongues of angels and men. So on the day of Pentecost, when they're all speaking in tongues, you know, either they were speaking in a whole load of different languages, or they were speaking in tongues and people were able to hear what they were saying in the language that they were able to hear it in. So I was asking this question, I figured, did they all speak in foreign languages so that people could hear, or were they all speaking in angelic languages and people just had an interpretation as they were standing there? Either one of them, and probably a mixture of both, could have taken place. When it comes to praying in tongues, it's a language of the Spirit. It's a language of my spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit in me. So when I begin to pray in that language, to start with, I am looking to disengage my mind so that my mind does not get in the way. That's the first part. This is praying in the Spirit. So I don't want my mind trying to impose on my spirit certain presuppositions, if you like, in what I'm going to be praying or seeking God about or doing. So I really want to disengage. I'm trying to think what to pray here. So I'm going to disengage that, and I'm going to engage my spirit, and I'm just going to begin to release that flow of my spirit praying. And then, of course, you can ask for an interpretation of what you're praying. You know, there is the gift of interpretation that comes as well as the gift of tongues. Now, usually that is used in a corporate setting where a tongue is brought publicly as a gift of the Spirit, and then the Spirit gives the gift of interpretation to the person or somebody else so that there is order, if you like. Now, there's no reason why, if you want to know what you're praying in tongues, you can ask for your own interpretation. If you think of tongues being the tongues of men, then when you begin to pray in tongues, you can pray in the tongues of men, which includes your own mother tongue. Now, I've found this works when, you know, I've been praying in tongues and I'm really, and sometimes it works in warfare, and you sort of almost that you feel sort of like, I'm praying in tongues in this sort of, you know, almost aggressive way, and I'm sort of something I'm sort of breaking through in here. I often find that I suddenly start praying stuff. Like, I'm not thinking about what I'm praying. I'm not even worked out. I'm going to pray this. Or it is just I start to release a whole flow of stuff. And that is what I have experienced of praying in tongues. I'm not thinking. I am just, my spirit is praying. And it's a flow that comes out of the Spirit. Well, that can be in English. You know, do I really want to be praying to God out of my mind? I want to be my spirit. I need to be led by my spirit. So even when you pray, you know, when you pray, are you thinking about it, writing it out, and then speaking out your prayer? Or are you praying from your spirit? And this can be as simple as that. You know, your spirit is praying. Actually, you just have heard what you're praying. And you didn't know you were going to pray that. Because if you didn't figure it out first, then you didn't know what you were going to say before you said it. Which must be coming from your spirit, not your active mind. You know, so that would be, you know, how I would sort of have described how it's worked in my own life. Does that sort of make sense?
Yep, that does it. Yep, that makes sense.
Okay. You know, I mean, we had a, I did a some encounters in some of the, I can't remember what it was, last year, and there was a girl there who only just had got saved, and we did an encounter where it was engaging with God or whatever, and she actually went into this encounter. She lives in England, But her parents are not English, and she can speak four different languages. I think German, Russian, Lithuanian, and English. And so she went into this encounter where God started speaking to her, and he started speaking to her in Russian, I think. So it was like, that's what she was hearing him say. You know, I thought, oh, well, that's cool. You know? The main thing is the revelation comes. You know? Okay. So have you got anything you want to share, Kristen? Ask. You usually got something. Come on.
Well, I'm sitting here Googling here real quick, trying to figure out what I was shown.
Okay. Oh, good.
So the interesting thing, I mean, I was shown a picture. All of a sudden, I stepped into court, and I sometimes take a few things in, and I'm not always sure of whichever is going to. But then it just all of a sudden, I felt that I was representing my family, and what was shown, and I mean, I repented of it immediately, but I don't have the understanding, and so that's what I'm looking for. Is the revelation of what I just broke agreement with. And I don't know, I'll throw it out there, maybe somebody, God would help in that. But actually what the enemy brought in is he laid a thermostat. Mm. Well, it was the old time thermometer, and it was seemed what was really highlighted was the mercury that was in it. Mm. And so, you know, immediately I just think, okay, hot or cold, and I go, but that's not, it wasn't an individual thermometer that you put in your mouth, it was the measure of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
That was the kind, okay. And so, so that's what the measurement was, the thermostat, the thermometer was the measure of the atmosphere. And so my question is, God, what does that have to do with my family line? And I don't have understanding on that yet.
Okay. Well, in a sense, yeah, you're talking about a barometer,
mm-hmm.
which actually measures the air pressure, you know, and so there's a weight. So the weight of the air, the pressure in the air, forces the thermometer, and you get either high pressure or low pressure, depending on the weather. That's sort of what you're describing. So in this sense, it's like it may be something that has actually come onto your family to bring pressure, to bring a low pressure and a low frequency that gives negative things. I mean, that's you know what sort of comes out when I think of that. But I mean, that's just you know off the top of my head. You know, but that's really, you know, what when you're talking about that, that's what it measures.
Mm-hmm.
It's atmospheric pressure. Well, if you think about the atmosphere of the Earth, think about what may be operating in the atmosphere of the Earth that can bring pressure on your family in this realm to keep it down. Maybe. But that's some of the way these things sort of come. They come in sometimes, I hear a word, you know, and this is what people come, sometimes just hear a word, like, I don't know, negativity or curse or whatever. I mean, sometimes that's all people get, a word. But that's actually, okay, that's enough sometimes, because it springs into mind what the connection to that word means, and then you begin to then go through the court process and find the revelation. And sometimes it's like you go to court, you hear the accusations, but actually the court's adjourned. I'm adjourning the court right now because I'm going to go and get further information so that I can go back in with to continue the case. That's fine. You know? And so it's again, yeah, now you can do some research and then you can maybe continue the case with some more specific revelation that you get. You know? So, yeah.
Well, just your prompting, it reminds me that several times in what I know of my family history that my families have been forced from health reasons to move, to go to a different to go to a different location so that they can live more health. So they have a sickness that manifests in this location. It forces them, or sometimes in my family history, it's caused them to lose their property to move, and yet it doesn't, like they moved from the Midwest to move to California because it didn't bother them in that atmospheric pressure.
That's a good thing. But at the end of the day, it's about being robbed of various things as a result of that. Because obviously low pressure in a sense, or low frequency, is associated with sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you sort of tie the two together, and it actually, yeah, you can see a bit of a pattern there. So no, it's good. Excellent. Okay. All right. Awesome.